And take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 14, okay? I know that we're a little bit later than we normally are, and I just want to let you know that I know that, okay? I can see the clock right there, and it's working fine, by the way. Mark chapter 14, we won't be long tonight. I don't think so. Maybe, if you behave yourself. Mark chapter 14 and verse 26, I want to share a thought with us tonight. Mark chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, I'm sorry, I'll let you get there. That's a staff member struggling to get there, right? Mark 14, verse 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me tonight, this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for tonight. We pray you'd bless our time together. Help us, Lord, to get the truth tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 22 and verse number 54. I want to read a few more verses here. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. If you were at Mark, you were really close. Just go write one more book. Says, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. But when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. So about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. One of the things I notice, and there seems to be a flaw in the human nature. This flaw is that one that we use to deceive ourselves. We think that we are different than other people. Sometimes we look at things and like, well, you know, that's something that is for them. Or something happens to somebody, and it's like, well, that's something that happens to other people. And we never think that it could happen to us. We never think that it could be us. Because after all, we think that we are different than other people. What applies to them doesn't apply to me. I know something more. A few years ago, I read a biography of Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple. The people that worked with him said that he had this thing that they would call jokingly a reality distortion field. He would just believe something, and even if it wasn't true, he would convince himself that it was. Now, that's good if you're a salesman. But when he got cancer, it wasn't good. They said that he would get on these off-the-wall fasts. He would do fasts for months at a time, not just a juice fast. It would be one type of juice. They said that he believed that if he was on a juice fast, he didn't need to shower because he didn't smell. Finally, one day when he had hired a CEO, the CEO came to him and said, that's not true. You need to go take a shower right now. But when he got cancer, before he actually decided to take the treatment he should have taken, he got on this off-the-wall thing thinking that he can beat it, and he found out that really reality is true for everybody. That happens to a lot of us, though. maybe not as dramatic as cancer, but we just think that we are different when it comes to many different things, particularly what the Word of God tells us. Many years ago, I had a young man. Our family was in bed already, and I was going to go to bed. This is back when we lived over somewhere else over on the east side. And 11:30, one of the single guys from my class came over, and I'm like, he's like, "What are you doing? I just got off work." I'm like, "It's 11:30. I'm going to bed. What do you think I'm doing?" And he's like, "Good." And he just walked in. That's what the singles did, by the way. They just came and hang out at the house all hours of the night. I started talking to him. He was starting to be and hang with a girl that he probably shouldn't be with. It wasn't good for him. And so I thought, "Well, you came to my house, so I'll tell you." I'm like, you know, and I tried to talk to him about it. And he's like, no, I'm going to help her, you know, and this is going to be good for her, and we're going to get her to the Lord, and this is going to be great. And I'm like, "It's not going to work." He goes, no, do you understand? I can handle this. I'm different. By the way, he wasn't different. And disaster followed. We're not different. As we read through our text, we notice Peter. Jesus is very, very close to going to the cross, going to be arrested. And so he pulls them together and he's trying to tell them what's going to happen. He says, "Listen, I'm going to be arrested and you're all going to scatter from me. And what I want you to do is later after I'm resurrected, you're going to meet me." Now, Peter, I like Peter because Peter's like us. Peter's just straightforward and just tells you how, you know, what you don't have to think about what Peter's thinking. He'll tell you. And Peter's like, whoa. All these guys here, they can deny you, but I'll never deny you. And Jesus gives him a little reality check and says, "Listen, you're going to deny me." And Peter doubles down and says, "Listen, if I have to die for you, I will never, ever deny you." Well, I think we know what happened. Peter didn't get it. Peter decided to take the spiritual exception clause. "I know you said this, Jesus." And by the way, he quoted a scripture that applied to the prophecy of what they were supposed to do. But Peter says, no. I'm different. Fact of the matter is, nobody's different. Fact of the matter is, if I could tell you what probably a frustration is when you're trying to help people, and you'll talk to them in the office, and they'll say something along this line. "You know, I'm supposed to be doing this, but..." And then they continue on about their problem. Sometimes people come to me, not so much this crowd, but, you know, Sunday morning, and they're going to come to me and tell me about what they're doing. Now, it may be something we may have even talked about in the service. And they're going to tell you, like, you know, their disobedience, just because I told the pastor, that makes it okay. Because he knows why I can't do it. The exception clause. But I'm different. But as we looked in Luke, he found out that he wasn't different. What Jesus said applied to him. What Jesus said was going to happen did happen. As I look at this story, I see several absolutes from Peter's experience that can help us to understand that we are not different. We're not. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus stated the truth. The truth is stated. Jesus said, "All shall be offended because of this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." Jesus didn't only just say, "Listen, this is me talking," although that's good enough. He said, "There's Old Testament scripture that says the same thing. This is going to happen." But it wasn't good enough for Peter. See, I want you to understand something about the truth that Jesus stated. Truth is equal opportunity. It is for every single person in this room. Sometimes we'll talk about different subjects and we'll give you thoughts and God says this or God says that. And there's always someone's out. "I know God says I'm supposed to do this, but you know, that's for somebody else. They don't understand my situation." Do you know everybody has a situation? The truth is equal opportunity. You're never going to get to heaven and talk to God and say, "You know, I had the, what is it, Monopoly, you get the get out of jail free card. I got the truth exception card." There's no such thing. There's no such thing. By the way, that's just the spirit of our age. You're driving on the freeway, right? And someone's swerving into your lane. You know it's going to be there. They're on their phone. They're texting. And it's like, listen, I could clear the national debt tomorrow. If every person that drove with their cell phone in their hand tomorrow got a ticket for $200, we'd have a surplus in the government budget. Because no one pays attention to it. They're different. The speed limit doesn't apply to them. Okay, I better get off that one because I struggle sometimes. It's equal opportunity. By the way, we met some police officers this morning that came here. I hope you don't meet them during the week. Okay, if you're meeting them during the week, you're not doing something right. But what about us? You know, the spirit we should have when we come to church or read his word is this. What is God saying to me? You know, we like to sit in church and we hear something. It's like, that's good. I hope Brother Machado heard that. By the way, people like, you know, I'm not telling you what to preach, but sometime in the future, you should talk about this. It's like, let's not talk about their sin. Let's talk about your sin. That's a message they don't want to hear. If you're in a situation and something's going on in your life, here's the question. What would God want me to do in this situation? Truth is non-negotiable. Yeah, I like Peter defended himself. As if Jesus was going to say, my bad, Peter, you're right, you're the only one. That's not how it works. Okay? It is for every single person on this earth. If most of us were honest, we would have to say that obedience is really only an option when it doesn't interfere with what I want to do. Oh, we'll get up and we'll sing the songs. Take my life and let it be. Now, most of us would rather sing, take my wife and let me be. Okay? Take my life and let me be. You know, here am I, Lord, send him. Okay? That's how it is. That's how we think, right? But we're like, oh, yeah, I'll obey God in this area because, yeah, I'm in on that anyhow. But we get this area over here. It's like, well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. That one's getting a little too personal. I like the story I heard. In the early part of the last century, the early 1900s, there was a pastor named Peter Marshall in Atlanta. On Sunday morning, the church, he had a good-sized church, and they were singing, take my life and let it be. They sang the verse that had these words, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I behold. He got up and he stopped the song. He goes, he read the words again. He goes, I want you to think about those words. He goes, we're going to sing that verse again. And if that's not true in your life, don't sing it. They said the church was mostly silent. What if we only got up and sang the words to the songs that we absolutely lived or tried to live? We might be silent on some of the songs. But we have to understand, truth is not negotiable. We can't argue with God about it. Well, I prayed about it, and I'm pretty sure God wants me to do this. If God's spoken his word, you don't need to pray. Pray for the building. Pray for friend day. Don't pray about a situation God's already spoke about. Okay? That's obedience. And then the truth is binding. Truth does not change. You know, when Peter fired back at Jesus the first time, and Jesus laid it out on the line on him. Said, not only are you going to be scattered, Peter, you're going to deny me. The truth. Then I want you to see, number two, the truth is refuted. Twice, as we mentioned, Peter tried to refute the truth. Why did he do that? He says, although all shall be offended. You know what he's saying? I'm different. I'm not like these other guys. They'll do that. I know they need that, but I don't need that. Listen, you need everything that God is telling you. Everybody thinks they're exception. Years ago, we go on vacation every year, and we're up in Washington. And many years ago, my mother-in-law, she didn't hear this. She thought the exception applied. She got a ticket. And so, you know, in the little small town of Othello, it's like 6,000 people. So I'm going to go to court, and I'm going to fight this ticket and see if I can get the judge to let me off a little bit. So I'm like, I'll go with you. That sounds fun. Let's go. So I went there, and I'm sitting in the courtroom, and the judge is going through traffic tickets. And it was just ridiculous. Everybody that came up, like, all right, this place, come on up. What do you got to say? And he's like, Well, I know I was speeding, but I was tired. That was the number one answer, by the way. And I remember after about the third or fourth person said, I'm tired, the judge goes, what's wrong with you people? So when you get tired, you automatically start speeding? But everybody had a reason, Brother Pichardo, why they should be let off of their ticket. Can I just tell you something? He wasn't having it. And guess what excuse my mother-in-law used? I was coming home late from work that night. I was tired. That didn't fly. We're not different. Okay, it is for us. Peter also believed he was committed enough. If I should die with thee. Sometimes we think we're committed enough in these many areas that it's okay if we ignore God in these areas. That doesn't work. Because you won't have trouble in the areas where you're committed. You know where you're going to have trouble? The areas where you're not committed. That's where Satan's going to get you. Well, you know, I got 9 out of 10 right. That 10th one's going to kill you. We can't just pick and choose. This isn't a spiritual cafeteria. And yet we do it, and we do it. If I should die with thee. You know, so many people are like, oh, you know what? Boy, persecution comes. I'll die for Jesus. Listen, I'm not going to ask you to die for Jesus. I'd be happy if you live for him. And he'd probably be happy if we live for him. But I guarantee you this, if we don't live for him, we would not die for him. And maybe that's the problem in our country. It's been a little bit too easy for us, hasn't it? And I know, and I keep up with the current events, and I know the tide is changing in our country when it comes to Christianity. I get it. But can I just tell you something? It is still nothing compared to what's going on in this world. Go to a Muslim country where if you're saved, you're going to get your head cut off. Go ahead. So it's not that difficult. Let's be as committed as we can. Commitment is measured by obedience to his word, not some bumper sticker we throw on our car. We also believe we can control it. He says, I will not deny thee in any wise. You know what he's saying? I got this under control. I know you think I'm not going to do it. I can control the situation. I have it. I'm not going to deny you. I can make sure that I don't do that. And yet, he did. I have it under control. You just think about all the areas in life that are danger areas. And Christians get caught up in them all the time because we believe that lie. That innocent text at work where a coworker says something flirtatious. I know how you respond to that. Drop dead. I'll have my husband talk to you. We don't let that stuff go. But see, what we do is like, I'll just, you know, you got to understand him. That's just how he is. It's okay. And then you hit back and forth. Listen, that type of stuff goes on all the time. You can't control it. Once you start taking steps in the wrong direction, it's like going downhill. The momentum, look, if you children, you know, you're trying to get them to get going on a bike. Once the momentum gets going and, you know, they're trying to teach them how to ride the bike without the training wheels, once the momentum gets going, you let go, you know what's going to happen. They're going to have to crash a few times. The momentum's, they're done. They're down the road. You let the horse out. I know, your children are different. They can handle freedom in electronic devices. No, they can't. So how come you keep saying that the last few weeks? I have nothing else to say. Because every single problem we deal with young people, devices. And I'm trying to do you a favor. You'll save money. Okay? You don't need to get them a phone. Every youth activity, they're with somebody. If they're at school, they can knock on my door if they know the secret knock, which I won't tell them. And I'll let them use my cell phone. But it's just dangerous. And then this freedom we give them to do whatever they want. But you don't understand. My children are different. You're different. I just thought I'd throw the commercial in. You don't need couples retreat. You don't need date night. Listen, if your wife says, no, I don't want to date you each week, you are in big trouble. Big trouble. Can I tell you that? That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. But you listen, you're not working on your marriage at all. But like, I know you always talk about that, Brother Myers. You know, you're going to date night and getting away with your wife and all that. And look, but you don't understand our relationship. It's good. We don't need that. No relationship is good if we're not working on it. But we buy all these little lies. We hang around with the wrong people. Like, I can handle these godless friends. I can listen to this godless music. By the way, no, you can't. I've said it over and over. You'll never rise past the level of the music you listen to. Never. If you're listening to godless music, you're spiritual. You got a cap on your spirituality. You ain't going any higher. You can't listen to godless garbage and expect to rise above that. It just doesn't happen. I know, you can handle all the problems. All of us think that. We better get over it. Once you decide not to listen, you're not in cold. By the way, that's just how sin is. And I know you come here and say, oh, Brother Myers, you just say certain things, and I, you know, just tell a funny story, and we'll all be good. I do have a good story I want to tell, though. And I told this several years ago. If you heard it, still laugh. Three men went hunting. There was a doctor, a lawyer, and a preacher. And they all went deer hunting one day. So they're laying out there. It was a bad day. They weren't getting anything. And this one solitary deer came. And all three of the men shot at it. And down it went. The doctor says, it looked by the way he went down that I shot him. The preacher said, listen, I'm not going to lie. I shot him. The lawyer said, no. I understand facts. I'm pretty sure I shot him. And so they all argue about it. And someone said, well, you ought to go look at it. Well, let's figure it out. And the doctor said, look, let me go look. I'll go look at the deer, and I can pretty much figure out who shot it. So he goes down there, and he looks at the deer, and he comes back. He goes, okay, I know for a fact who shot the deer. He goes, who? He goes, it was the preacher. The lawyer goes, how do you know? He goes, because the bullet went in one ear and out the other. Okay? Sometimes you feel like that's how it is in church, right? I mean, it's like, you know, you visit people and they're struggling in their life. It's like, you really need to be back in church. I know, I'll be back in church. And then they miss. And you know, I feel like doing, I don't do it, Brother Bichardo, because I'm compassionate and loving. I feel like send them a letter and say, well, maybe that's what your problem is. See you next Sunday. That wouldn't be helpful to anybody but me. Okay? We're not different. We believe we control it. And then the last thing is this. The truth is confirmed. This is the sad part. You see, the truth will always be confirmed when you think you're different. But the problem is this. You won't be delighted with the way in which it's confirmed. You know, Peter found out something. Jesus was right. How did he react to it? He went out and wept bitterly. The truth is always going to be confirmed. The truth is always right. How was it confirmed in Peter's life? It was confirmed by the way that he followed half-heartedly. You know, Peter said, I'll die with you. I'm not going to ditch you. And yet he didn't. He did ditch him, but he was the only one that kind of followed to see what was going on. Now, he stayed back out of the way. And by the way, he shouldn't even have followed at all. He should have did what Jesus said and meet him after the resurrection. It was too late already. But Peter's following and he's half-hearted. The reason a lot of us think we're different than anybody else is because we're just kind of half-hearted in our Christianity. And I'll just tell you this, Christianity was never made to be effective if it's lived halfway. It only, you know, we always talk about the abundant life, the blessed life, God is good, serving God, all this. It's only good if you're all in. If you're not all in, not going to work. Got to get all in. We cannot be half-hearted about this thing. The truth is confirmed because our weaknesses were displayed. Here was Peter, spent 3 years with Jesus Christ. He should have figured the whole thing out. This was his Savior, someone he believed in. And yet, he didn't realize that inside of his heart, if it's not right, the stuff that would spew out. And here he is, who spent all this time with Jesus, denying that he knew him. Curse, just the whole nine yards. By the way, we need to be careful. And this isn't, you know, I'm not trying to be over dramatic here. But once we get away from God, we can never control how far away we will get. We can't. I know good people that were far better Christians than me growing up in my, as I was younger, saved individual and hanging out with some guys that really love God and some of the situations in their life and as the years went by, the things that happened. Listen, if the garbage that happened in some of their lives, if I would have talked to them when they were serving God, they said, I'll never do that. And I don't think they intended for that to happen. But once you start the process, you can't control the progress. It's going to happen. And Peter's weaknesses, and by the way, give Peter credit. When he realized his weaknesses, he wept bitterly and he got it right. And 50 days later, he's preaching Pentecost. But in some cases, we might mess ourselves up so much, we can make it right, but there's a lot of scar damage. It's best if we just listen in the first place. And why else is the truth confirmed? This is easy. Because God is always right. Okay? Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, you know, the Bible says if that, but I tried that and it doesn't work. It's not the Bible, it's you. And you didn't try it. Were you committed to it? I heard this statement many years ago, and I don't know who made it, but I've remembered it. You can never break God's laws. You can only break yourself against God's laws. What's the whole point tonight? The whole point tonight is this. None of us are different. None of us are the exception. Let's not go Peter. Too many people go Peter. Well, I know I'm supposed to do this, but you know, it'll be okay if I just do my own thing. I know God says we're supposed to tithe, but I don't need to tithe. I mean, come on. After all, God understands. I can't afford it. I know we're supposed to tell others about Christ, but you know, I would never come on Tuesday or go out on Saturday. I can't do that. Let other people do it. I know we're supposed to serve God in the church and get involved and whatever it is, but I'm busy. After all, God will understand. I know I should be at all the services, but you know, they offered me and I can pick up some overtime. I can do this. By the way, what message are we sending our family when we do these things? We're sending our children the message that God is optional. Let's not do that. Peter told Jesus, you're right, Jesus, these guys are going to scatter, but I'm different. And he found out he wasn't. Let's not find out that we're not different. Let's just do what God simply tells us to do. Let's stand together this evening, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.